Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Is television ready to bust loose in a variety of interactive directions next year? Tracy Swedlow's popular TV of Tomorrow show conference will explore that question next month. Tracy Swedlow's on today's episode, the whole episode, and she joins me next. Also ahead, Roku Channel's latest original plunge, Mayhem, Meet the Mayhems, my little Flintstone voice, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in today's program. Great to have you with us on this 10th of December, 2021. This is the program about TV's current and future. We're happy to have you along for the ride. Great guests coming away for the full hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. In other words, interact with us. How? You pick up the phone and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere you catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone? No problem. Use our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can be with others by using Facebook Timeline. So simple. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. 49 degrees is top of the hour here in New York, and Tracy Swedlow from Interactive TV Today and the upcoming TV of Tomorrow show will join us live from San Fran after these news notes. The Farrelly brothers are back with a TV series today, and the Roku channel has it. That project from Peter and Bobby Farrelly is The Now, a dark comedy about living to the max when personal tragedies strike. Bill Murray, Daniel Hannah, Dave Franco, Alyssa Milano, and Jimmy Tatro are among the key cast members. 14 episodes of The Now began their Roku channel run this morning with the Farrelly brothers as directors and co-writers. Incidentally, the Roku channel is not only available on Roku, but it's also on other smart TV sets and devices. Supervillains out to be normal deep in the heart of Texas. Disney Channel will bring that concept to life next summer in Meet the Mayhems. Chris Peterson and Brian Moore serve as the creators and showrunners of this live-action series. Co-stars include Isabella Pappas, Lucy Davis, and James Patrick Stewart. Production began earlier this week. Now we've got quickies for you before our guests. New Zealand-based rom-com series Under the Vines will be back for a second season on AMC-owned Acorn TV. HBO's next unscripted Friday late-night attraction will be Chillin' Island, kicking off 1 week from tonight. 27 Next Star-owned TV stations will carry the Lone Star New Year's Eve countdown special from Dallas December 31st. The special is produced by NBC affiliate KXAS TV. Former The Practice co-star and Emmy winner Carolyn Mannheim has joined the cast of NBC's Law & Order revival. Mannheim was on a trio of Law & Order episodes during the 1990s. And we have a sad note for you. One of the great band members of the Monkees, Mike Nesmith, passed away this morning of natural causes. The cool, cap-wearing guitarist and songwriter of the 1960s Emmy-winning TV-generated group was 78. And that is news notes for today. My guest for this program is one of the foremost people I know who follows television, especially interactive television. She's done it for quite a long time. She is the founder of Interactive TV Day, the popular newsletter and email service about the world of interactive TV. She does the popular podcast and TV series Telenation or Television Nation, which you can find sometimes on your TV set or your personal computer. And she also is the originator of the popular TV of Tomorrow conferences. The next one will be taking place on January 12th to the 13th, virtually. Joining us live from her home base in San Francisco, our very good friend, Tracy Swedlow. Hi, Tracy. Happy holiday season to you.
Thank you, Simon. Happy holidays to you. TVOT is January 10th through the 13th.
Yeah. And it comes on the week after CES. But what do you think about the timing that it comes on right after the Consumer Electronics Show?
Well, you know, as much as I think CES is a, you know, a great show, they don't really cover the nitty-gritty of television, really, in any great depth. And people have complained about that. And so we're happy to kind of fill in that vacuum and provide an opportunity for people to speak about how business of television, you know, gets done, business development, measurement, streaming, advanced advertising, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff that makes television work.
And I've been one of those complainers, to be honest. I thought that this year's CES, which was the first virtual one, while I thought the way the show went was great, there was not one panel on smart TV sets and smart devices, not one panel on interactive TV, a next-gen panel that frankly was too much in the weeds, and a keynote panel with Ann Sarnoff of Warner Brothers that was badly moderated, that was not as insightful as it could have been. However, I'm hearing that next month's CES, which will be back in Las Vegas and also have virtual segments too, that people around the country, around the world can catch it, will have more to say about smart TV sets and devices and be more TV-focused than it's been in the last couple of years. Anyway, Tracy, let's get back to the original question I posed at the beginning. Do you think TV is ready, interactive TV is ready to finally bust loose in the coming year?
It's every year something comes out to say that it's, you know, going to change the whole TV landscape, some new technology. You know, it's been ready for decades, but it's whether or not people are willing to invest in it and realize that engagement is as valuable as measurement, you know, technologies behind the scenes. Most people like to just figure out a way to generate more revenue from delivering more content, but I think there's a huge amount of money on the table that people are missing by not giving them interactive capabilities. There are certain companies that are definitely, again, playing with it, introducing something new, and I'm sure we'll talk about it here.
Well, it seems there are a couple of developments that have happened, particularly in the last few months, that suggest that the public is ready, and two, that maybe the industry is ready to finally bust loose with interactive TV next year. One development, at Advertising Week New York, about a month and a half ago, Vizio and Magid held a breakfast, and they announced the results of a study that they did among 1,600 smart TV users around the country. And what they found was that anywhere from 40 to over 50% of the people surveyed said, we are ready to have different interactive applications on our television set. More than 50% said, we want to interact with live weather and traffic reports. 47% said, We want our home security system available on our TV set. 47% said, we want to order food for the TV set and use menus. Put the menus on the screen, we'll order and have it delivered. 46% said, we want to order products and services on the set. About 40% said, let's have our webcams on the TV set. And even 37% said, sports betting. You get this sense that, and by the way, we've had the people from Magid and Mike Blossom, who you will have, by the way, on the Santa TV of Tomorrow show next month, and also a Vizio rep on our show about a month ago, and they suggested, they really believe this, and you got a sense that Vizio is really going to make a major move in interactive television next year.
Well, it's going to take a company like Vizio to make it work, because the problem is that all of these smart TV platforms, television in general has been working on this for decades, right? We've seen ordering on TV, food. We've seen people do their banking. People have been doing this in England for a long time, although that's cut out. But my point I'm trying to make is that the problem is that the platform owners, the Roku, the smart TV CE manufacturers, Sony, Panasonic, all of these companies, they have not put the correct software on their platforms to make this happen easily so that software developers, producers can make an interactive experience easy to launch. And the major problem is because it's a huge investment and they're not clear where that monetization is coming from and how it will return quickly enough. And the major problem because of that, is because they're not able to measure advertising and things like that in a consistent way. So it all stems back to monetization, ad revenue, and then until that all of that is solved, I think we're still going to have a lot of trouble launching interactivity. However, because there is this emerging new interest in sports betting and interactivity, and companies are making that very possible, at least delivering pay-for-play, but where you can not necessarily bet money on sports games, but just play along. Once you train your audience to do those kinds of things, I think producers and platform owners and content owners will start, looking into the idea of launching more interactivity. The fact that they own so much metadata It screams, you know, to put this on a screen so people can at least navigate that and enjoy it and subscribe to it, sign up for it, make it interactive. I mean, Amazon has done that, but they haven't even monetized that. It blows my mind that people haven't figured it all out yet.
I want to delve more into this in a moment. Tracy Swedlow from Interactive TV Today and the TV of Tomorrow Show Conference, latest version coming up virtually January 10th to the 13th, week after CES. She's with us live this hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And Simon Abbott, I'm with you from the other side of the USA. Tracy in San Francisco. I'm in Nueva York, where it's 49 degrees at the top of the hour. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Now, an animated edition of our program coming your way on Monday. We will have the executive producer of the new Disney Plus series with Will Smith, Welcome to Earth, that premiered this past Wednesday, Jane Roop, former head of Discovery Channel, by the way. And then we'll have a return visit from the celebrated entertainment news correspondent and columnist Ray Richmond. He just came out with the wonderful book, Betty White, 100 Extraordinary Moments in a Remarkable Life. And he'll be back to talk about where he sees TV going in this year ahead and maybe give us his 10 best or 10 worst shows of the year. And also, we'll showcase, same day, a PBS special called 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle, that's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Jim Bell, who is the producer for BYU TV, which will also run the show next week, next Thursday, as a matter of fact, he'll be with us. That's all coming up on the 90-day edition of our show, Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Let's explore the software situation in more depth, because a couple of things have happened in the last month or two. One is that Roku, who you mentioned, has come out with an independent developer kit, which is allowing developers to create interactive applications. And I want to read part of the press release about this, what came out from Roku. It said, for example, developers can build applications to pull together data from various sources, effectively turning their TV monitor into a snapshot view of their daily news, weather, calendar appointments, and even traffic conditions for their office commute. Or they can use create fun interactive games that use the Roku remote control, smart home applications, other tools, and utilities. We also know that most of the smart TV set makers and device makers now have put artificial intelligence voice software into their products so that you can use Alexa, Google Assistant, and Siri to use the TV set with your voice as well as remote control. And in a breakthrough that happened this week that frankly did not get the attention in my mind of a lot of people, tech press, the business news channels, et cetera, Amazon Fire TV now has a feature called Smart Dashboard, which allows you to control your lights, any smart home product you have in your home or apartment, through your television set. Anything from the microwave oven to your coffee pot to your outside porch lights to your home security camera. Doesn't that suggest that there's some active work going on to try to address what you talked about, this software issue?
Well, it's a bit of a workaround. If Roku can make this happen, that is a big deal. I would be very surprised. However, they have so much money these days. You know, I hear them talking about possibility of investing in a whole content studio, right? And they just seem to have a lot of money to throw around. So maybe they're just experimenting to see if people will throw something up there. Yeah, they can take those kinds of risks. Amazon, it's completely logical, obviously, for them to do something like that because they deal in the world of commerce and Internet of Things, and it's in their best interest to tie all those things together, right, and order Internet Alexa-enabled things to interact with their television. I mean, it's a very smart objective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I don't think that will necessarily rub off very quickly on the big CE manufacturers just yet because it's a huge investment to do something like that, to layer a whole new deck on the deck that they've already got. And the deck that they already have on a lot of these smart TV platforms aren't getting used. And it's been a massive loss of revenue for them. You know, because most people plug in their OTT platform of choice, and those things cover the television deck. So if they were to introduce a whole new dashboard where you could interact with all of your objects, I mean, you'd have to do a massive marketing push in order to have that be your prime screen, your home screen that you interact with versus, let's say, the Apple TV or the Roku or the Chromecast that you've plugged in as an external device. What do you think, Simon?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we got to keep an eye on Roku for a number of reasons, and one of them is interactivity. You know, a year ago, they were not in interactivity at all. But now, since May, when they introduced Food Network Kitchen, which is now in its third year, by the way, on Amazon, and now it's been on Roku for about 6 months, they've come out with this independent developer kit. They're now running casual games on the television set that you can play. And you just get the sense that the tide is turning, where Roku is saying, let's be like Velcro. Let's try all sorts of things, whether it's interactive applications or whether it is putting new programming on the Roku channel. You know, we just had the news note that Roku has just launched today a new television series called The Now from the Farrelly Brothers. Nobody knew about this show. By the way, it's not been reported on Variety. It's not been reported on The Hollywood Reporter. We had it. It was a press release that came out on Business Wire. And Roku, by the way, has said now, through their head of originals, we're going to do 50 new television series over the next 2 years, at least. So you get this sense that Roku is definitely becoming more of a content maker.
Well, yeah, I mean, they may veer away from delivering an interactive experience towards the, you know, the revenue generating, you know, experience that Netflix has enjoyed by becoming a content purveyor. I mean, they purchased Quibi's short form content, right? So they turned that into their Roku channels, I think. I mean, I would expect Roku to move in that direction pretty aggressively.
Yeah. There's two other facets I want to get into in this segment. One is we now have these interactive fitness channels like Peloton and Beachbody and Apple Fitness Plus that are getting into smart sets and devices. Peloton just got on LG's sets last week, where you allow you to interact with fitness classes, and you don't necessarily need the treadmill or the bike. You can do it, you know, without that and watch on the television set rather than do it just on a smartphone or device that they give you. The other thing is we're seeing a lot of interesting games. Now, go ahead. Let's talk about interactive fitness. Do you see it having any impact?
Interactive fitness on TV? I mean,
yeah.
That's been a very popular genre for a long time. And so it's interesting because Peloton and companies like this, which have invested so much money in their programming and purchasing a screen along with the bike, right, have dominated that. And if it's shifting back to the TV, it's kind of like they're stealing back and forth from each other. But I think Peloton and other companies like that partnering or delivering an app onto a TV so they don't have to invest in the hardware, I think that's a great strategy. Personally, that's a major reason why I've never bought a Peloton or something, because it's so overpriced, the whole experience. You know, why? Why? When I can, yeah. I go and hit a heavy bag every morning, boxing heavy bag, and I find my favorite boxing channel, and I go on YouTube, and there I am, right? I don't need an expensive device and a screen. I can use my phone. I can use a small screen. It's more economical. And, it's a better investment, I think, for exercise companies not to deliver the screen itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, deliver the content on the TV set. You could also maybe be able to monetize it, get advertisers that are interested in the fitness exercise genre, or natural foods, or health products, prescription, et cetera, and they can make a fortune, perhaps.
And the thing is you could probably, you know, navigate to your favorite instructor. If it's on YouTube or a sports channel that you like or something like that, why should you have to use only the people provided on the devices platform that you purchased? There'd be more freedom.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that also I want to touch, and I'm going to do scripted content in a second, but games and gaming. You've got Apple Arcade. You have Google Stadia. Both are available on smart TV sets and devices. There is a venture called GameStar Plus that is trying to become the Netflix of gaming with Steve Harvey as investor and spokesperson. They have already raised on WeFunder.com something like $7 million. We've been following what they're doing. It looks like they will get on smart TV sets or trying to get on smart TV sets and smartphones, et cetera, next year. That's out to cause Netflix that involves board games on the TV set, game shows interactively, and so forth, certainly with people like Harvey participating. What's your outlook in terms of video games on the TV set?
The video games on TV sets have been happening for decades. I mean, I remember when people in England and Sky, they first launched the Open platform, and games were the most popular interactive TV offering there. And I'm surprised it's taken, again, this a long time for them to reemerge on these platforms. Isn't Netflix doing the same thing? I mean, I think they're going to be an incredible opportunity for monetization and traffic and preventing churn. So I would say the more the merrier as far as the platforms are concerned. But we're still missing, however, the incredible originality that we used to see on the Game Show Network when they would deliver completely an interactive game show with the host that would interact with the viewers and you would send stuff in. And those days are over, but I hope they reemerge, to be honest. Because,
well,
I mean,
it'll be interesting to see, I think, if
it'll
be interesting to see, by the way, if Game Show Network has just hired Don Takeo, who just promoted Don Takeo, his their head of ad sales, as president, whether he might, shift that environment around.
They were so original. It was exciting, and it was interesting to watch. It was engaging television. It's like watching, I don't know, Jeopardy, but it's like watching the Wheel of Fortune or something that live and then interacting with the audience. And it kind of reminds me of those ideas from Ray Bradbury, right, from Fahrenheit 451, where people would interact with game shows in the future, right, with a three-sided wall of TV screens. I don't know. But the whole idea of it being an immersive experience, of course, we haven't even mentioned the word metaverse, right? When will all of these TV shows,
we'll get to that in the
show, experience
the
metaverse
situation.
And you can Yeah, but you know what? Also, we need to talk about are these the networks are also experimenting with NFTs and delivering things you can buy and inside a metaverse environment or alongside a television show. So there's this whole other back channel developing where they're developing a commerce relationship with their viewers. And when you develop a commerce relationship with your viewers, interactivity is sure to follow on the screen, whether, you know, because at some point they're going to want to do direct to consumer and use that single screen and not just have everything go through the phone, because then you're losing a bunch of revenue.
Yeah. I want to come back to that in a moment. I also want to make a point that Netflix now is into games on the mobile phone, but I have a hunch that down the road, and not too far down the road, smart TV sets, maybe part of the action in terms of their game venture.
Yep.
So we will see on that. Keep your eyes peeled. We have a call. We're going to take it momentarily, but first I want everybody to know Tracy Swedlow is our guest this hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. She's in San Francisco. I'm in New York. Simon Applebaum with you live on this December 10th, 2021. Happy holiday season to you and all. If you have a question or comment, like our next person, ring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Before we take the call, I want to let you know that not next week, but the week after, Christmas week, we have a triple header of shows for you. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's December 20th, 22nd, 23rd, right here. Christmas week for you on Tomorrow Be Televised. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, welcome. You're on the phone with Tracy Swedlow. Go ahead.
Hi, Tracy. It sounds like you guys are going to get into metaverse talk in the next half hour, so maybe I'm jumping the gun on this. But I just wanted to find out about, since you mentioned boxing specifically, that's one of the things that I do using virtual reality almost every day. There's like so many virtual reality, like I have an Oculus Quest, boxing games that are so lifelike. I mean, your sweat and adrenaline rise fast when you have this boxer in 3D that looks like they're right in front of you for real. So, so I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, whether you actually tried that or not.
That's so funny because I've seen those commercials and I really would love to do that. And I just haven't figured out what to do to make that happen yet. But I used to cover the VR industry in the early 90s, so I've been following it for a very long time. It looks fabulous. I'd love to do it.
Okay, yeah. I'd suggest, especially now that with the holidays coming up, if you can borrow somebody's device for even a few minutes, because I've shown it to people, and literally within like 10 seconds, and they're like, how much does this cost? Like they want to buy one immediately.
But, you know, it would be a good TV show. It would be a good TV show or some kind of thing where you could, in a metaverse with other people, be able to have different opponents, right, and have them box you at the same time, not just boxing against the game engine.
Okay. Okay, that's cool. So, well, good luck with all that. And just real quick, I just think specifically because so many people got burned in a way on back in the 90s, early 2000s, virtual reality was so gimmicky and it wasn't really doing much to add to people's lives. I think now they kind of have to be convinced with it, but I think it's the future, but a lot of, big companies are investing money in it, but I'm really interested to find out where you guys go with the next half hour of the show to learn more.
I'm fairly circumspect about the metaverse. I mean, to be honest, the word metaverse is just a reinvention of, let's do a virtual three-dimensional world, and it still looks very graphical. And until these metaverse experiences become more lifelike, and it's not just people wandering around with half their bodies or with, like some archaic-looking, avatar, I'm not quite sure how successful it will be. It's got to have programming. It's got to have content. It's got to make people feel like they're really there. I've been in various VR experiences now, and it's super amazing, fabulous, right? But until people can do this without a head-mounted display, an expensive head-mounted display, it's still going to be a niche audience,
True, to some extent. One last thing that I'll leave you with is that I think some of the holy grail of what you guys were talking about earlier about buying things through TV and monetizing, I think that once avatars are actually somewhat true to life, like in other words, you're measured so that it sees your actual body size and weight, then you'll be able to virtually try on clothes and things like that. I think that that's when the monetization will come into play more, when you can try on those cool sneakers in virtual reality on your actual body and see what they look like and such. So, we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Well, I've been following it for quite a long time, so we'll see. I mean, until it becomes an experience that I can't get anywhere else, in other words, it's not just wandering around and saying, "Hi, who are you?" and bumping into people. And I need to have a reason to go there. I'll tell you, and then I'll let you go. There was one experience of a virtual world I had many, many years ago. A friend of mine showed me, and it was a beautiful rendition of a Japanese city, like Kyoto or something. And it was just the ability to wander through the city and to open drawers and to wander into temples and to walk down the street. You'd see people, walking across the street. You could follow this or that person, but it really wasn't about a game. It was just about being there, right? That interests me. I'm not interested in killing people. I'm sure you've heard that before, but a virtual world got to be a world that I'm interested in visiting. That's when I would do more, and have maybe content. Anyway, I know we're a little off topic for Simon's TV show, but I thought I'd say that.
Well, one quick last thing. When you mentioned the word wander, there actually is an app called Wander where you can kind of do what you just said. You can pick anywhere in the world, even like Iraq and stuff like that, and drop yourself in there. And if somebody's filmed in 3D in virtual reality, you can go inside buildings and check it out and things like that, or stores and things like that. It's really amazing. It's not totally there yet. You don't feel totally immersed, but it's still like really, really cool to just pick a place and go visit. So
sounds
check
good.
That out if you get the chance.
I will.
Cool.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, happy holidays
Thanks
to
very
you
much,
both.
Rick.
And I'll definitely be checking out the next half hour of the show. So thank you, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. Thank you so much. Take care. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And coming up our next half hour, we'll get Tracy's thoughts on a few things, like could TV be part of the metaverse, maybe the big part or biggest part, interactive advertising, interactive content, and also if interactive TV is not going to bust loose in 2022, what TV developments will? We'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tuner.com. We're going to reach you over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Roasting the World, a comedy show like you wouldn't believe, and on radio, too. Roasting the World tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, right here. On tomorrow, we'll be on tomorrow, on, excuse me, tomorrow, on tonight. That's tonight, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. God, I was getting ahead of myself a little bit. Okay, back to normal again. Quick brain flash for you out there. It happens from time to time, Tracy. Anyway, tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best speech are 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy to have you with us on this December 10, 2021. Sign up with you live from New York. We have Tracy Swedlow from Interactive TV Today, the popular email and newsletter. She also does Television Nation, which is available sometimes through that email, including the Friday Fireside with Rick Howe, wonderful Friday feature you can find if you're part of Interactive TV Today. She's also the organizer of the annual TV of Tomorrow Conference, next version taking place the week of January 10th to the 13th, the week after the Consumer Electronics Show, which is back in Vegas after a year absence. If a question or comment for Tracy, make the call, 646-652-2906, as Rick Webb from Philadelphia did in our last half hour, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. More with Tracy, but first some words to the fine folks at audible.com. You know, Dune, the movie, has become a big thing on many critics' 10 best lists, and it may be very well up for quite a few Oscars before all is said and done next year. But if you want to find out how Dune came to be, how about listening, that's right, listening to the original book by Frank Herbert. You can do that with a trial run with audible.com. Remember, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneRadio, and our various podcast affiliates. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, 1 month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and health and wellness information while it lasts. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you're in great luck this holiday season. You get two audiobooks for your trial of one. Also, if you decide to skip the trial and just subscribe for a limited time only this holiday season, for your first 3 months of your subscription, it's only $5.95 a month, and you might even get a $20 credit too. So for all details on all of that, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great holiday gift for you and someone you love, and it's a gift that lasts a lifetime. All right, Tracy, we're back with you. Let's talk Metaverse. You know, Metahead, Mark Zuckerberg, when he broke this open a couple of months ago, it was very interesting. He didn't mention television in this, despite the fact that he's got a smart TV device called Portal TV, which already does video chat on the television set and uses augmented reality for people live to develop animation for storytelling purposes and other things too. What's your take about TV's role in the metaverse? Could it actually be more of a TV phenomenon than anything else?
I think that it would certainly get a much wider audience if you could have like a metaverse app that could be navigated in 2D. Maybe people would find it more interesting. I don't, you know, again, it's the problem with these head-mounted displays. They're too expensive or people don't like to wear them. I mean, look at the way people don't like to wear masks. So I would say until somebody comes out with specialized glasses, again, which is always another long discussion, the metaverse is really just going to exist in 2D for most people.
Well, here's where a company called GenVid Technologies comes in. That Sydney Holland, the former senior head of programming at Netflix, who was with us, by the way, with Jacob Navick, the head of GenVid, a couple months ago, an exclusive interview on this program, by the way, comes in because in the last over the last year, they did a virtual world on Portal TV and Facebook Watch, which is available on most smart TV sets and devices, called Rival Peak, which was a virtual world, survivor-like, where you could control the world with your voice or your motion control, and you could also vote off a artificial intelligence-derived character every week. GenVid is very much into trying to create more of these virtual worlds, more of these interactive TV experiences. Couldn't that be one way, a 360-degree video another way, where you control it again, move the screen up, down, diagonally, whatever, through your voice? Couldn't that be a way that virtual worlds could happen?
Yeah, sure. It sounds great. But, I mean, no, they're not marketing this. It's still experimental, right? They're trying to figure out what their audience is, where they are, how many people they can get. I mean, they might have a bunch of people, but they're not moving this to mainstream yet. Interactivity, you know, still – you know, a bigger opportunity in general than delivering a completely immersive 3D experience. It's too hard to get people to sign up for that stuff unless there's some compelling content that you just can't get anywhere else. What kind of content do you think would exist in the metaverse that would compel millions of people to go explore that? What do you think, Simon?
I think it's up to the creators out there. And it may be up to having the creative communities in Hollywood, New York, Silicon Valley all, you know, bring their heads together, their imaginations together, and do something. You know, you've had on your television program, and I've had on my show, Butcher Blend, or Butcher Bird, the studio behind Orbital Redux, the live science fiction show from 3 years ago that was done on Legendary Channel Alpha at the time. I know they're trying to work on more interactive TV projects. It may take some independent thinkers and independent studios like Butcher Bird to come up with something.
If, you know, they did a wonderful, you know, science fiction on a spaceship piece, you know, it would be really fabulous. But that was still video-driven, although there were interactive elements, you know, that the audience could drive. That's great, but it's not graphical. It's not metaverse, right? But I'm saying, like what kind of animation project? Like, you'd have to have a Simpsons project or something with such high-quality writing associated with it or some kind of adventure that, you know, you couldn't get anywhere else. I know that, you know, that the networks are experimenting with more and more elaborate sort of animated series to see what they can do because I think they do want to push out into the metaverse. They want to use blockchain, you know, to control it or deliver it or to monetize it. And, of course, it's all about NFTs. You know, we're going to be seeing Dan Harmon's new animated series, Crapopolis, soon. You know, what? Maybe that will drive people. We'll see.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, Dan Harmon's project is part of this blockchain creative lab that Fox is pouring $100 million into to create new TV series. And that leads into, you know, it sounds like you're very high on this idea of blockchain, cryptocurrency, and NFTs coming together to fund and get new TV series and maybe even new TV networks on the air.
I would say follow the money. And there's a lot of money being invested in this area. It's amazing to me that people are buying these things, these NFTs, but they are. And so I'm sure that the networks are going to put some, you know, some muscle into it. Fox is.
And you also have independent companies like Starport and Sator, both of which we have covered on this program earlier this year, that are attempting the same thing. They're trying to become platforms for independent TV makers, filmmakers, maybe interactive TV makers to get their work to the public.
I think part of the success of the metaverse will be the artwork, to be honest. I think more and more artists are going to be drawn literally into that world, and it's going to be very competitive. People are looking for bigger and bigger thrills and things that are interesting. I mean, look at that artist Beeple, right, who made, whatever it was, $59 million or something, selling his NFTs. I mean, people are looking for fantastical worlds that they can jump into, things that are not necessarily just three-dimensional graphics with you and half your body wandering through that world. I think people are looking for completely new experiences. They're looking for new types of content, right? That's the bottom line. It's all about content.
Speaking of content, we recently featured on this program a project called Fireside, which was put together by Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, on Shark Tank. We had the chief executive and founder of that service on our program about a month ago. This is a service that is running now on PCs and I think smartphones where you can be involved with live interactive experiences, both unscripted and scripted. It can be anything from participating in a science fiction story to accompanying Jay Leno on a trip to an antique car dealer or antique car auction and questioning him while he goes doing his thing, questioning the people he deals with, and maybe even ordering, if not an antique car, maybe some memorabilia from the auction he's at, or going to with a meditation class with Deepak Chopra, and maybe perhaps even not only taking part in the class, but buying future lessons. It seems to me this, if it becomes a smart TV service, and when I talked to Farah Fatimi, Fallon Fatimi, who is the co-organizer and chief executive on this program, she gave the sense that maybe, just maybe, it might become an interactive TV service. They've got like 500 developers and creators, including some major names like Doug Liman, the famous writer-director, involved. And they're very happy with the early results so far.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how this works out. I mean, there needs to be a platform that does deliver a lot of interactive services to creators. I mean, I remember when YouTube had annotations built in, and creators all over the world built or even hacked the platform to deliver interactive content on YouTube. There were, I think at its height, and I could be wrong, don't quote me, about a million videos that had interactivity built in, and some of them were absolutely fantastic, like doing card tricks and other things. We used to cover it all the time at the TV of Tomorrow show, but for some reason, YouTube stopped supporting that, and so there's a huge vacuum, and obviously, because of that experience, there's a huge, I think people would absolutely be interested in doing it if the platform is easy enough to use and it gets a wide enough distribution. So I think it'll be interesting to see how Fireside does, but it's got to have that massive distribution. And speaking of distribution, I wanted to, because you didn't ask this question, but I'm saying that there is another platform out there that is going to be or is becoming more widely distributed, and we will see interactive elements or capabilities on it in the coming months and years, and that is the next-gen TV experience that you can get if you buy a next-gen TV-enabled television set, right, which are coming out. You can buy them now. And the broadcasters are going to be delivering interactivity of all kinds, sports, live news, live events, interactive live streaming. It's that is going to be delivered. It is being delivered across the whole country. Or at least the content delivered across next-gen TVs right now is just better audio, better video. But they're also able to deliver a full interactive and personalized experience. So I know you didn't ask about that, but it's coming soon, now.
I was going to. As a matter of fact, Houston, Greensboro, North Carolina, two of the markets that just signed on their stations this week. The Washington, D.C. just signed on, too. How soon do you think we are going to get next year, next-gen TV doing interactive television?
I would say in the next year, absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the other things
about this in – we'll be talking about this in great depth at our conference coming up in January, 10th through the 13th. We'll have a whole mini track on Wednesday the 12th. And by the way, it's a free conference if anybody wants to register for it. The ATSC3 group of people, which is the technology behind NextGen TV, all of the stars in that universe will be discussing what's possible, interactive TV, monetization, delivery, distribution, everything.
Yeah. Before we move off and just hear what else you think, if interactive TV does not bust loose next year, what will in terms of the TV world? Three more things: interactive advertising, interactive education, interactive medicine. It looks like we are starting to see a breakout of interactive ads all over the place. IMDb TV, Amazon's ad-supported service, is now running interactive ads, according to a report, according to Inside the Podcast, Inside the Stream, the podcast that Video News, Will Richmond does, who's been on this program before a number of times. He's having a live event, by the way, of Inside the Stream next Wednesday, which hopefully will be on. But also, Comcast Brian Roberts on his latest conference call said that X-Class, his smart TV set line that just started about a month ago, it may become a place to do interactive education and interactive medicine, at least on a test basis, or interactive health service.
I'm totally bullish about interactive education. I know, Comcast working on that, but there's another company as well called Information Equity Initiative. And the CEO and co-founder of that, Eric Langner, who I've interviewed, he's doing a lot of work with these ATSC3 next-gen TV companies and working to deploy to broadcast stations and directly to public television stations and to teachers directly And he's working on the idea of delivering all kinds of programming that teachers can choose from and, you know, television content, and then deliver these interactive TV experiences or the content itself, you know, to their students. So there's a whole new layer, or like there's a whole new opportunity for education to develop into its own television experience, you know, that can go directly to the kids who don't necessarily have Wi-Fi in the home or something like that. It'll come directly to their TV sets, you know, if they're connected to cable or satellite or whatever. But, you know, it's a really exciting opportunity, I think, for a whole new business as well as something that's good for the country.
Yeah. And on the medical front or the health front, there is a venture called MedSign that we also talked about a month ago in spring. Actually, we introduced people to it last year on the show, which is already on in some areas around the country, California, other places where you can talk to your doctor face-to-face through your television set. That doctor can give you graphic material about your diagnosis, some ways to go, and also order products and services if you need to through the television set. And I understand there's another interactive health service also that is doing things on the TV set, too. We hope to try to get them maybe down the road. But it looks like those two marketplaces, education and telehealth, on the television set could be very important areas to watch. And I agree. I think interactive advertising is going to be a very, very big deal. It's already starting to be. We're starting to see NBC Universal start running ads on Peacock. We're starting to see Discovery Plus in a story that I came out with on Media Village today, this morning. Discovery Plus has launched some interactive ad formats that are now being used that the ad community is at least starting to react to very well. So that may be a whole deal. So we will see. In our remaining minutes with Tracy, we'll find out what she has to say about what else may break loose in 2022 in television. And we'll also get her thoughts about the TV program she's looking forward to seeing next year. And if you have a question or comment for her in our remaining minutes, make the call, 646-652-2906. She's in San Francisco. I'm in New York. Simon Abbott with you. Delighted you're along for the ride this Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised. And don't forget our classic trivia question segment coming up for the top of the hour before we leave you. So check it out. You may become our latest winner. We've got a quartet of prizes for you. And this will be the last time we'll offer this particular question. So stay tuned. Get your thinking caps going because you could be our next winner by the time we sign off or by the time we come back to you next Monday afternoon. So, Tracy, if interactive TV does not bust loose next year, what do you think will in this year ahead when it comes to television?
It's always going to be content. I mean, although I think the sports betting thing is definitely happening. We're going to be doing a session about that on at TVOT. I think there's a lot of interest in that. And, you know, when you get, like, organizations like Bally's involved and, you know, the gambling business, I mean, again, follow the money. So I would say that is going to become more and more important and a new sort of rush of money into the TV business, which will support more interactive features down the line.
Do you get the sense that this coming year, the smart TV set and device makers are going to become more than just being content carriers? They will become content makers, whether they make individual shows, as Roku is now doing, or channels that Vizio is doing with its features lineup. LG now has an NCAA championships channel. We're hearing that Samsung may do something with TV Plus, and maybe they might pull the trigger on Echo. We don't know. Their interactive TV project that they have a stake in along with Walmart and other people. What's your sense about this idea of smart TV products becoming content makers, content or channel creators?
You already mentioned Vizio. They launched their Watch Free, you know, suite of offerings, right, of content. So I think if people don't start offering their own content, they're going to continue to be disintermediated by the other platforms that you just plug in, like I mentioned earlier. So all of these companies have to make that decision, or they have to start partnering with the content producers or supporting or, you know, sponsoring them. If you don't own content, you are you know, you're going to be sort of relegated to the background.
Yeah. What about also these multi-channel bundles? We've got a bunch of them now, everything from Pluto TV, Philo TV, Fubo TV, which you mentioned earlier, Local Now from Byron Allen, Stir. We now have newcomers like Click TV and UMAX, which is offering ebooks, by the way, as well as songs you can hear or do karaoke with through your television set. What do you think about the future of these bundles? And it looks like, for example, Tubi, which Fox owns, now they're doing original content, and they're getting some good audiences for it so far.
I do think that they will continue to do well, but I guess I've taken more of an interest in niche providers who really know their audience, really know how to curate their content, and that's the area that I think is ripe for new development and for interactivity and for new kinds of monetization, and that's where I think these things like watch parties and stuff could really work. If those companies could make enough from subscription-based content and invest in those directions, I think that those would be the new winners of the game. But it's hard because they're niche, they don't necessarily get that huge, you know, massive subscription sign-up. But I keep hearing people talk about, I love this platform, I love that platform. Like, for example, I love BritBox, you know. I watch Broadway HD, you know, Magellan TV. And I feel very emotionally attached to these things because they really know what I want when I sign in. But these other companies like Philo and Fubo and this and that, I mean, they appeal to a much wider group of people who are looking for free content, and they're very successful at what they're doing, and they have all that distribution muscle behind them. So I think they're going to continue to, what's the right word, to solidify, right, to consolidate.
Yeah.
So those groups, I think, might start going away. They'll get they've already been picked up, a bunch of them, but I think more and more they're going to consolidate.
Yeah. Two more questions for you. First, name two companies that might not be on everybody's radar screen that you think will become something unique for television next year. In other words, start putting your eye on this. Start getting your ear on these companies because they might make some moves next year.
I'm watching a company called Cinedigm, and speaking of interactive TV, they just signed up Livelike to do new interactive features. Cinedigm is definitely getting around. Eric Opeka, I can never pronounce his last name. You might want to interview him. I would say it's a smart group of people. Check them out.
Yeah.
They're an independent streaming company. I'm watching a lot of these NFT providers as well, as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And who else? I'm watching some very smart people at Discovery Plus. I know that's not a company that's kind of under the radar, but I think there's a lot of amazing people over there, and they're going to be moving and shaking in many, many ways. So I expect them to be real innovators. Coming year.
You mentioned one
and
of my two, Cinedigm. I was just saying, you mentioned one of my two, Cinedigm. I think they are definitely a company to watch. I think they've done some great things as a bundle for unique channels. One of the new channels they're coming up with is from the celebrated choreographer Lorianne Gripson called the Bop Channel. They may do interactive dance classes on that channel. They sort of hinted that they may do that. And I'm looking forward to seeing, and we have had Erica Peck on our show, and I'm hoping to have him again to talk about these new interactive features you're talking about. Instead of moving the conversation along, because we're almost out of time. But the other service I would say is called Binge. Watch this space. Binge is a new venture. It's trying to become the Netflix for the gaming community. They're doing everything from scripted versions of games to unscripted shows, and they may do interactivity. It's supposed to launch first half of next year. They already have a website that is very interesting to watch. Keep your eye on Binge. I think this is a company, and if they're very well funded, this company could make a lot of noise in the next year, and they might encourage the gaming community to do more with interactive TVs. So finally, Tracy, what one new television show is definitely going to be your big one to watch next year?
Oh, I don't know, Simon. I guess everyone wants to see what happens to the second season of Squid Game, right? Wouldn't it may be amazing if Squid Game were interactive? That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm watching a lot of long tail content. I have to, I watch some new stuff too, but you know, I'm a big fan of some long tail stuff. So I don't know what I'll watch next. I definitely have to do my favorites, which, you know, this last year, which is, you know, I have to have watched British Baking every year.
Yep. I will not be surprised if by this time next year, Netflix greenlights or gets into production a U.S. version of Squid Game, as well as the second season of the original. But the one show I am definitely looking forward to seeing next year is Amazon's The Lord of the Rings. I think this could be the show that either cements Amazon as a major television player of content, or it could be, if the show gets bad reviews, put them in a hole. But I think it's going to be one of the events to watch next year.
Sounds good, but I tell you what I want is I would like an interactive version of Star Trek, but done from the traditional point of view, you know, from the old style, none of this new stuff. So we're missing that, people out there in the world. You know, we would love to have that.
If Gene Roddenberry was still around, he would probably do it. Rod Roddenberry was on our show, Gene's son, a few months ago, and I would not be surprised if maybe they get involved with interactive TV in some way, maybe an interactive version of Star Trek. They got the people
to
do it.
Not going to happen. Well, I agree.
Yeah. Tracy, this hour has flown by really, really fast. And thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And again, your TV of Tomorrow show next month, virtually, January 10th and 13th, week after CES in Las Vegas. If you want more details about the conference and how to be part of it, ITVT.com. It's ITVT.com. And check out that site. A lot of good material about the world of interactive TV and advanced TV, where it's at and where it's going. Tracy, all the very best with the conference. You and your family and friends have a wonderful rest of your holiday season. And also, let's bring TV Tomorrow back to New York next year. New York is ready to go.
We'll see if everybody wears their mask. All right, thank you so much, Simon. I really appreciate it. Love what you do. You know I do. And you will be doing a session at our show as well, if all goes
Absolutely. Would not miss it for the world. And thank you for the opportunity, Tracy. And again, best to you and everybody.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
You too. Take care. Tracy Swedlow joining us live from San Francisco. I'm sorry we are out of time. We can't do the classic trivia segment. But if you want the question, I'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum. Twitter, UBC Simon, WBT. Coming your way on Monday, we will have Jane Root from the new Disney Plus series, Welcome to Earth, celebrated entertainment news columnist Ray Richmond, and from 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir, coming Monday night on PBS, Thursday night on BYU TV, producer Jim Bell. Now, anyway, don't forget to check out our podcast available throughout the weekend at our various podcast sites. If you missed any part of the program today, catch up with this, go to blogtalkradio.com/televised. Tomorrow Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. But Tomorrow Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, the iRadio Podcast Network, and our other podcast affiliates. Whatever you're seeing now and then, please make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor. Check your medical history and records, and then make a great choice. And remember, it's your choice.